Look, Hillary was the worst Secretary of State in the history of our country. Jeb Bush will never produce a job in his life. Forget it. You're kidding yourself if you think you will.
Well, I think there are a lot of people that are qualified.
What about Trump?
To be president, but I think the real question is, who's the most qualified?
He failed totally. He was the governor of Texas, totally failed at the border. When I need Hillary, she was there. If I say go to my wedding, they go to my wedding.
So I'm done answering those questions.
Donald Trump just released his financial information moments ago, and he says he is worth more than $10 billion.
His campaign calls his wealth so vast that it was hard to fill out the Federal Election Commission form.
Now, Hillary raised $46 million, a lot of money. The good news, how much do I have? $10 billion.
If he did get the Republican presidential nomination and asked you to be his vice presidential running mate, would you say yes?
Share some of his views, or do you think he's approached it from the wrong vantage point?
Did you ask for his endorsement?
Donald Trump took you on in a speech today about Common Core and immigration. I want to ask you.
Sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
I think that is a way premature question to be asking. I mean, we're running for the presidency at this particular point in time.
It seems like every time I get in front of the media, you guys all want to ask me about, you know, a comment that Mr. Trump made weeks ago.
We had a good conversation, and I enjoyed Donald. You know, he is one of a kind.
Well, who's that riding?
In the historic K-Don Studios in fabulous Las Vegas, the On the Air light is lit and the John Brislin Show is live.
Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding, John the Revelator. Who's that riding? John the Revelator wrote the book of the Seven Seals.
To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257 KDWN.
And welcome, America, west of the Rockies, to the Pacific Ocean, north to Canada, eh? And the Canucks in Canada, eh? And south to our friends in Old Mexico, margarita time, I wish. Well, it could be for you, because it's right about 9 o'clock on Saturday night, which is, you know, for a lot of people that are cooler than me, that's time to partay, especially in Vegas, huh? Oh, welcome to the John Brislin Show. Thanks for spending part of your Saturday night this August 15th, 2015 with me and producer Denise Maramire, the face on the other side of the glass. I don't have sayings for her like I had for producer Clyde, but I'm not going to force it. When it comes, it comes.
Thank you.
There are a few things happening in the world today, and you need to know. First of all, it is my mother-in-law's birthday today. You needed to know that, didn't you? Well, whether or not you like it, it is in fact her birthday. So Maxine Malinsky out there, this is her birthday. And happy birthday to you. I hope it's a wonderful day. I got to spend part of it with you today. And I hope the remainder of it was just as much fun. Also, a bit of family news. Because, you know, that's why we're here, to talk about the important stuff. My brother-in-law, Bradley, has a dog, and his name is Buddy. And his dog is, I think he's about 14 years old, and he is sick. So our feelings, our thoughts, our prayers go out to that little sick doggy, and hope he's in the hospital level sick. So hopefully things go as well as can be hoped, you know. For that little dog and my brother-in-law, Bradley. There's an interesting story that it reminds me of when my little dog, whose name was Wrigley. Isn't it funny how we name dogs? And we come up with I had a dog one time that was named United because I got it from a place called United Security. It was a raggedy dog that was just a drifter. You know, what do you call dogs that are just wandering dogs? I'm sure there's a name better than Drifter.
Feral.
Feral? No, that's for cats. That's cats. No, no dog wants to be called feral. You see dogs looking around, you know, baring their teeth at you, growling at you for calling them feral. Anyway, we named him United, and she was a great little dog. And Wrigley was my dog, my little Cocker Spaniel, up until a couple years ago. And a very short story that's kind of interesting, has an interesting end to it, is that I was in, I can't remember where I was, but I was in an airport somewhere. Portland. I was in Portland visiting a friend, and I was in the airport coming home, and I got a phone call while I was sitting about to load onto the plane. And I got a call from my wife, panicked, just beside herself, like almost hyperventilating. And she was telling me essentially that the little dog, Wrigley, was not responsive. He was just laying there limp on the kitchen floor. And, I guess what you'd expect, and I was trying to talk her through it, and I was trying to keep her calm, and she said, he's dying because of me. I don't know what to do, you know, because what can I do to help him? And I was trying to tell her that, you know, all the calming things that, you know, how long has he been unresponsive? Can you check his eyes? Is he breathing? Can you put your cheek next to his nose? Does it feel wet? Can you feel any breath? Put water on your cheek. Can you feel breath? You know, now going through all of the first responder kind of things, I guess, for what to do with the little dog that was sick. And around me, as I was sitting in the airport, I noticed people were starting to listen. And but as they were listening, they had to leave because they were boarding the plane. And I was continuing on trying to talk my wife through it and what to do and remind her that if he was going to live through this, it was going to be because of what she did, and try to reassure her and keep her calm so that then she can help Wrigley and get him to the hospital, which thankfully was, I don't know, maybe 2 miles away. So we had a hospital that was very close, a doggy hospital. And, cutting to the bad part of the story is that, I don't know which part to tell first, so I guess I'll tell the bad part first, that when I flew home, I missed him by about half an hour, and it was his time. He was about 16 years old, or 15 or 16 years old, and he did pass about half an hour before I got there. And I don't know if you've ever felt loss, but we can feel loss as humans, as people, as a man, just as for another animal, like a little dog like that, just as much as you would feel loss, in some cases more of a sense of loss than for another person. And, so you can feel what I was feeling then. I got the news when I was in the airport in Las Vegas, and it stopped me in my tracks. I mean, you could just... it was like a gut kick. But to try to swerve it back over to an uplifting or somewhat uplifting note, I was flying Southwest Airlines. And remember I told you that as I was sitting there on the seats of the boarding area, waiting to get on the plane, people were starting to listen because, you know, when you hear somebody saying, is he breathing? How long has he been, you know, has his breathing been shallow and blah, blah, blah. And people start to listen to a conversation near them like that. Well, as I looked around and I continued this moment for probably longer than I even realized, I looked around and there was nobody else there. I was the only person that was in the whole area that wasn't on the plane. And I thought, oh, man, I really need to hurry. So I walked up and I was standing next to the gate to go on. And then it got a little bit worse. Something else happened with his body, and my wife was screaming and trying to what do I do? What do I do? Do I, you know, she's got the kids, and do we get him in the car? Do we, and just she was panicking because of these things that were happening to the little dog. And if there is an interesting high point to such a story, it's simply this, that I was talking on the phone with my wife for a long time, a little bit like I'm telling this story right now for a very long time, but it's for a certain point. And the point is, Southwest Airlines held the entire plane, I think quietly, you know, not telling the entire crowd, but they held that entire plane for about, I'd say maybe 15 to 20 minutes after their departure time. While I was standing by the gate trying to talk my wife through this until I, you know, finally could get to a moment where she was in the car headed to the hospital and I felt it was under control and I could board the plane. And I literally walked on the plane, they closed the door, and they began taxiing backwards before I even sat down. But what I'm saying is, for all the garbage we see in the world lately spewed by Trump and the other politicians and the things about Hillary and from Hillary and, you know, all this hubbub, there are good things in the world too. And when we see something bad, like someone we love or some an animal that we love reaches that time in their life where it's time to go, there are bad things and there are good things, too, that we should at least pay a little bit of attention to. Like, for instance, the humanity in the people at the gate and the pilots and everybody that must have been involved in holding an entire plane for a situation like that. I will probably never even know how many people were involved in holding that plane because I don't know what the details are, but they run a tight schedule. So I'm sure it was quite the thing for them to do that, but they did. It's entirely possible that they didn't know I was talking about a dog. They might've thought I was talking about a person and they thought it was a life and death thing for, for a person. I'll never know that one. That's possible, I guess. I guess. But, you know, I guess the funny, laughing, try to make the mood happy takeaway is that if you are ever waiting to get on a plane and whoever you're flying with isn't there yet, get on the phone and pretend to be talking about a life-threatening situation where you're talking somebody through on the other end of the phone how to save their buddy. And there might be a chance that they'll hold the plane for you. And then, your wife is there now. Oh, well, seems to be the situation is over on the phone. We'll board. Not sure. Anyway, talking about flights, I guess. Donald Trump can't seem to get out of the news, and we as Americans can't seem to stop watching the train wreck that he is, because train wrecks are always eye-catching and appealing. Well, he is giving little boys and girls in Iowa rides on his helicopter. He flew in on what they're calling the Trump One, I guess. It's the Trump helicopter, and he circled making lots of noise to try to, you know, in his normal low-key Trump style, tried to get attention and landed at the state fair of Iowa, which is sort of a political tradition in Iowa. All the candidates, Republican and Democrat, will show up there at the state fair and mix and mingle with the corny people, with the Iowa people. I love Iowa. No, I do. I just call them corny because, you know, I love Iowa. No, I really don't love Iowa. I don't care about Iowa. No, I love Iowa. I was wonderful. And not only do I love Iowa, but also also that Trump loves Iowa. For some reason, somebody must have told Mr. Trump that when you're there, what you want to do is tell the people of Iowa, all the corny people, you want to tell them that you love them. Oh, you love their fried food and their fried corn. And oh, you love them. You just love them. And nobody's going to question him as being kind of ridiculous when, if you stop and think about it, why? I bet you this is the first time that Donald Trump has ever been to Iowa in his life. You really think the New Yorker Donald Trump gives a husk of corn about Iowa? No, he really doesn't. But he's going there and playing the game, and I guess they all have to. There are a few things that he said there about $1 billion that he plans to spend. We will talk about it more when we come back, and more importantly, we will move on to the interesting things that are happening with Hillary and the possibility of FBI investigations, her not running for the presidency of the United States. That would be true history in the making, right here on the John Breslin Show. Stay right where you are, you.
John Brislin, making caffeine addiction look good.
Listen live or archive on www.johnbrislinshow.com.
Going on vacation, visiting a theme park? Then let independent guides make your experience unforgettable. Learn how to skip the lines, save hundreds on tickets, food, and accommodations, and get insider tips from ex-theme park employees with our high-quality guidebooks available in print and digital formats on Amazon and other leading retailers. Make your next vacation unforgettable with independent guides. Visit independentguidebooks.com. That's independentguidebooks.com today.
President Obama, whose father was born in Kenya, but due to security concerns, he won't be able to visit that village.
I will not feel bad. He has to come here to work, so let him work. I can't feel bad. He has to come here for his duty, but someday he will surely come. He's a son here, and I cannot be angered by him not coming to see me.
Little passive-aggressive from the Kenyan grandmother. No, I get it. He's the president. He has important people to meet. It doesn't bother me at all. If I really want to see him, he'll come to my funeral. I'll die.
President Obama said that he thinks he could win a third term in office if he ran. Then again, the Constitution won't allow it, screamed Hillary Clinton.
That's funny.
If only they would let you, but you can't. You can't, you see. It's someone else's turn.
John Brislin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
Listen live or archive on www.johnbrislinshow.com.
Did you know that
And Ex Nebular education platform is a software that is in the fundraising stage right now. If you go to Kickstarter.com, that's Kickstarter.com, you can find out about Ex Nebular and how it can change the face of education in the future for you, for your community, your family, your kids. Really have an imprint on the entire world of education. Online education is seriously something that I believe in, that I, John Brislin, believe in, and I am very happy to be supporting this concept, this project. Right now it's in the fundraising stage, as I said. If you go to Kickstarter.com, that's spelled K-I-C-K, starter, Kickstarter, pretty simple, Kickstarter.com, and do a search for Ex Nebular. And this is an interesting spelling. It's the letter X, N-E-B-U-L-A-R. X, N-E-B-U-L-A-R. It is an e-learning platform that works on just about every device that you could find, as far as iPhone and Android, or iPads, your laptop, whatever the case is. And you can take education anywhere, which provides the flexibility for people in this modern rush hubbub world, rush world, to still get the education that they need. If you want more information on it, go to Kickstarter.com, do a search for Ex Nebular, and if you like it, tell your friends and maybe toss a couple dollars their way or toss a couple $100 their way and help improve the future of education online.
People are trying to find your business on Google. The question is, can they? At SaltRank, we work to get your website on the top of Google so that new customers come to you. Stop searching for customers. They're already looking for you. Learn more about our service at www.saltrank.com or call us today at 844-255-RANK. That's 844-255-RANK.
John Brislin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
And welcome back to the John Breslin Show. Thanks for spending part of your night tonight with me and producer Denise Maramire, the face on the other side of the glass, the Mona Lisa of my studio here. I look at the framing around the glass, and there she is with the Mona Lisa smile, actually much better than that. And so she's always nice to look at and be here with me talking to you. So thanks for being here. And we got to mention a couple things that I'm going to do in bullet point fashion about Donald Trump. In Iowa, pardon me, in Iowa, he said that Donald Trump would spend about $1 billion, if need be, to support his own campaign. And let me tell you what I would tell him if I, if he was asking me for advice, which you can see by the mistakes that he's making, he isn't asking me for advice. However, what I was told when I ran for office and what I have told other people who are running for office is this. There is always the pull, the idea to put in your own money to fund your campaign. And there is a theory that I believe in that if you are truly electable, you may need a little bit of seed money to just get started. But if you need to fund your own campaign, then that means that the support for you isn't there in the first place. So you are most likely not going to win the election if the support isn't there for you in the first place. You can try to pump in your own money all you want. But if the voters truly want you, it's because you have something to offer that they are willing to demand. And if you don't have something to offer the voters that they are willing to demand, pumping your own money into it will never make up the difference. Now, when I say never, I guess that's relative, because if you want to spend $1 trillion, you know, that's more money than anybody else has. And so, yeah, I guess you would win. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But there's my point that you can spend $1 billion if you want to, Donald Trump, but that doesn't mean you're definitely going to take it. Now, there are some other things to talk about with Trump. Like he mentions that he made $10 billion and he's worth $10 billion. And Denise said earlier that what he should be doing is mentioning all the jobs that he provided, right? But let's be careful when we're profiling a person, not a class of people. I'm saying profiling a person. You can do that all day long. Someone, does something and you learn from it and you know what kind of person they are. When he never mentions the jobs he provides, other than that he employs some people, he never says it in a way that's caring. And all he says is that how much money he's worth. That's where his mind is. That's how he thinks. His mind is ego driven. And is that what we want in a president? He laid off 1,100 people lose their jobs because when he built his hotel in Atlantic City, he reneged on $1 billion worth of promises to pay back loans from small businesses in the community of New Jersey, and he did not pay them. Those are 1,100 people that lost their jobs and lost their companies because he didn't feel like paying them and he didn't feel like he had to. They trusted him. Do you want to trust him? You know what? That should be the ad. That should be the Democrat attack ad right there. He writes his own ads. 1,100 people trusted him, and he fired them all for doing exactly what he asked them to do. And they trusted him. Are you going to trust him, America? Well, there it is. Okay, DNC, make sure to send me my cut of, whatever the ad buy is. Now, moving on to something that's more important. Disneyland. Speaking of, comical circuses and things. How much time do we have? Okay, I'll just mention it real fast. Disneyland is taking out Toontown, for any of you that remember, or if you know the landscape of Disneyland. Toontown has been there for about 30 years or so, and they are removing it. And what are they putting in its place? Star Wars. Star Wars, yes, that is what they're putting in its place. Now, there is an interesting thing about that we're going to talk to you and we'll talk about when we come back from the break, and I want to hear what your thoughts are. There are two different ways we can go on this particular issue. Number one, I want to talk about Star Wars and how wonderful it's going to be for anyone visiting Disneyland. Oh, don't give me that sourpuss face. I really think it is going to be awesome. I can tell you that what they did with Cars Land is flipping amazing. It is truly amazing. You can walk into Cars Land and feel like you're in the movie Cars. If they can do that with Star Wars, God bless them. Here's the kicker. They are going to get a tax break. They demanded, well, let's just say they got a tax break from the city of Anaheim, the people of Anaheim, to the tune of $500 million. And the strings attached are they need to spend a $1 billion on renovations and they need to build a new parking garage. It's what they were going to do anyway. Do they really need to take money from the taxpayers of Anaheim in order to do that? There's an argument for it, a strong one, and a strong argument against it. Let's see where you come down on the John Breslin Show. The phone number to be on with John is 702-257-5396, 257-KDWN. Stay right where you are, you.
The Nevada Congressional Delegation shares the latest from Capitol Hill on the Eye on Washington with Merrily Joyce Show, Sunday mornings at 7:30, here on News Talk 720 KDOT.
Got laid last week.
You're kidding me.
I know, right? And she's not the only one. Apparently, Jen got laid only yesterday.
Wow.
You want in on the action as well, right? But you want someone with experience. The Las Vegas Flooring Company at 6329 Dean Martin will lay your hardwoods, carpet, and tile the right way and beat any quote. Owners Rick and Cheryl are offering 79 cents a square foot flooring for the month of August. You can also get 90 days same as cash OAC. Give the Las Vegas Flooring Company a call at 702-854-9555 or visit their huge showroom at 6329 Dean Martin Drive. Tune in every Sunday at 11 a.m. for Dan French from Nova Home Loans for the Las Vegas Real Estate and Financing Radio Show on News Talk 720 KDWN. Buying a home starts here every Sunday at 11 a.m.
New Quinnipiac University poll, which of all the major polls is the hardest to pronounce, has Trump ahead of Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker by a lot. 20% to 13%. Jeb Bush is now down to third. But while Donald Trump leads the Republican field by a wide margin, right now he seems to be unelectable. The same poll shows him losing to Hillary Clinton by 12 points, losing to Joe Biden by 12 points, losing by 8 points to Bernie Sanders, and he's 5 points behind Bill Cosby.
Basically, the President of the United States called my office and asked twice if I would come to Washington and meet with him, and I did. You know, I was brought through the secret White House tunnel entrance at Mount Rushmore. It was a round table meeting with the president, Elvis, still alive, Minister Farrakhan, and the Area 51 alien. I remember what happened. We opened with the traditional Saul Alinsky prayer, supped on the blood of the righteous, and took turns f***ing a replica of the Reagan eye socket.
John Breslin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
Thank you for calling Abbey Dental.
We guarantee the lowest prices in town, with dentures starting at $295, crowns as low as $325, and single dental implants starting at $325 each. Second opinions are free. Receptionists are standing by. Call Abbey Dental at 862-2200. 862-2200.
Restrictions apply.
Protest the Iran nuke deal Tuesday, August 18th at 8 a.m. outside of Harry Reid's office located at 333 South Las Vegas Boulevard. Again, protest the Iran nuke deal Tuesday, August 18th at 8 a.m. outside of Harry Reid's office, 333 South Las Vegas Boulevard.
Business owners, did you know that summer is a great time to hire the best people? With your competitors on vacation, there's less competition for quality candidates. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find them. And when you're short-staffed, there's no time to deal with the dozens of different job sites. Until now. Thanks to ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites with a single click. Just post once, and within 24 hours, watch your candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. Plus, be instantly matched to candidates from over 4 million resumes. ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses, and you can try it right now for free. Try ZipRecruiter and get your perfect candidate this summer before they go to somebody else. Today, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio.
Welcome back to the John Breslin Show, where we know and are talking about Disneyland. Let me tell you, I've been to Disneyland, probably 5 or 6 times in the last 5 or 6 years. It's kind of an annual tradition with my daughter and for her birthday, and now for with my daughter and son. So, yeah, I'm one of those parents that we go to Disneyland, and we're very lucky and enjoy it. Well, there's an other side to Disneyland, and it's that last year, Disney gave the maximum of $1,900 to every single one of the incumbents running in the Anaheim city elections. Disney also, $1,900, that's not a ton of money, but they also gave an additional $776,000 to 4 political action committees whose campaign spending included a combined $476,000 to help Murray and former Councilwoman Gail Eastman. So what do they get for their generous contributions to the campaigns and the PACs of the City Council of Anaheim? Well, after a 5.5 hour debate and public comment, the City Council, the Anaheim City Council, voted 3-2 just after 1 a.m. to approve a deal which requires Disney to begin construction by the end of 2017 and complete the theme park expansion within 7 years. I'm sure Disney was crying that they had to expand the Disney theme park, because that's not something that a business like Disney would do any flippin' way, right? They had no plans of any kind of, reinvestment or why would they do that? You don't do that. Well, if Disney doesn't hit the deadline or meet the spending threshold, oh no, the city's tax ban on admission tickets expires. However, the ticket tax ban could be extended for another 15 years if Disney later embarks on a separate $500 million project. So what are we really talking about here? It is a tax on ticket sales. So one person going into Disneyland is, if I remember right, approximately $110 or $120 a person. Yeah, I know. Everybody's gasping at that, and believe me, I am too. And so you get in, and it is nice, and I can justify the cost and all, and it's the experience, I get it. So, but the you suck it up, and that's Disney for the kids, right? However, a lot of places, most places, as a matter of fact, have a tax on the ticket sales. Well, Anaheim says Disney doesn't have to do that for a period of 30 years. The next 30 years, Disneyland is not going to have to pay any kind of tax on their ticket sales, which is, as far as the park attendance goes, that's the majority of their income. Yeah, you can buy some churros and some hamburgers and a couple Cokes and all, and it adds up to about $1,000, I'm sure. And then the Mickey Mouse ears are, I think, $1,700 a pair, I think, for the Mickey Mouse ears. And then if you want a coffee mug, the coffee mug is, I don't know, I'm pretty sure, though, I've had cars that cost less than their coffee mugs right there in the park. But you don't get coffee. That's separate. Batteries and coffee not included. So the things in there are expensive, but the most of the money, I would have to assume without researching it, that most of their money comes through ticket sales, at least as far as the park goes. Maybe I'm wrong there, but that seems to be the thing. And there will be no tax of any kind, no sales tax, as many of us would call it, on ticket sales. And that's because, well, Disney is very smart when it comes to lobbying and supporting and dealing with their local politicians and making sure that politicians get in there that are friendly to business. Now, let's think about this for a second. That's Anaheim, and that's Disney, and that's taxes. Well, there is also a rumor that was reported by, I can't quote the source, so forgive me. My best guess is that it was Dateline NBC, but I could be off on that because it was about 10 years ago. But the story, as I recall, had something to do with the fact that Disneyland has no legal obligation to report crimes to the local authorities because they are a little bit like the Vatican. They have been given special privilege to handle any criminal criminal situation in the Disneyland Resort, in the Disney property. They handle it themselves. They also have a, you know, the rumor is, I believe, that they have a SWAT team to handle such things. And it's, there's a whole interesting setup around the Disneyland. And it came to light because there was a woman who was on a roller coaster at Walt Disney World. And her story was, whether it's true or not, that's for investigators to figure out. But the story was that her husband fell out of the ride and eventually died. And she couldn't sue because the courts require a police record, and there was no police report. There was no, they essentially are immune to that kind of thing. Now, I don't know how much of that is true, and by that, what I mean is, I don't want to step on anybody's toes as far as making any claims about Disney, because I don't want them coming back to me and telling me that I've said something mean and they want me in court. So I'm being very careful, but let me just tell you that Disneyland is, well, they're not weak when it comes to laws, creating special situations for themselves and special tax situations for themselves. Why do I mention all of this? Because all of the talk that we're doing lately is centered around this fascination that we have with the celebrity train wreck that is Donald Trump. And his main claim to fame is how businesses can thrive and survive in America. And I can tell you that Disney is actually very nice about it. They're cutthroat too, but you know, they're nice about it. And Donald Trump and his creating a hotel and then not paying his debts, that's what he is saying we need more of. That is the business acumen, the business knowledge, the business mind that we need more of. And I'm simply saying that whether or not that's true, it's interesting that nobody is out there calling him on it. Nobody is pounding him for the idea that a $1 billion in local businesses did work for him, and then he decided not to pay the tab. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And he wrote it off by saying, well, the law allows me to. I'm not sure that that's what the businesses there would be saying. I'm not, you know, because you can get away with it. You know, you can get away with murder if you do it right, I'm sure. I mean, I watch CSI. I know how it is. You can get away with murder, and, you know, the law allows for certain things, right? So does that make it, you know, that's right? And when you're applying for sainthood, then to be, you know, to become the saint of the White House, is that right? Is that what we want? We need to keep that in mind. We need to be careful. Now, I want to go to the phone lines, and then quick teaser. We're going to talk about the fact that there is a possible FBI investigation that is going to name Hillary Clinton as the, possibly anyway, the chief suspect in some top secret information disclosures, or at least compromising the security and potential access to those top secret, highest level documents. If you don't protect them, then you have fallen down on your application. Or, I'm sorry, I looked at producer Denise and she was giving me the finger. It was odd. Not the finger you're thinking about. It's just, but Hillary Clinton may have fallen down in a legal sense. And if she is under FBI investigation, will she still want to run for president? I don't know. You know, with that awesome bass sound. You hear that? That awesome bass playing. Let's go to commercial. We're going to knock this one out as quick as we can and get right back to the phone lines. Thank you, everyone, for being patient. And we're going to go to the phones and talk about what we've been talking about and move into Hillary Clinton. And what if she doesn't run? We almost haven't even thought about that. Next up on the John Breslin Show. Stay right where you are, you.
John Breslin, polite conversation avoids politics and religion, embrace bad manners.
John Breslin, to be on with John, call 702-257-5396, 257-KDWN.
Attention business owners. I want to tell you about a great business network, ElegantThings.com. That's ELYGANT Things.com. Elegant Things was created for all business owners, marketers, webmasters, and others to have a place where you can shine. Some of the incredible benefits of joining ElegantThings.com are having your personal page and website submitted to all available global search engines. Here you can share and learn informative topics on business. You will have access to other business owners to purchase products for personal or for bulk buying. You can write reviews about products and services of companies around the world. There are free tools to increase traffic to your site. Also, there are ad spaces for sale at very affordable prices. Sign up today at ElegantThings.com. ELYGANT Things.com. ElegantThings.com.
Hillary Clinton, you know, she's also running. You hear less about it. She's not giving a lot of interviews. That's one of the criticisms. She hasn't been giving a lot of interviews because I think she's looking out at everybody else who's running for president, and she's thinking, if I keep my mouth shut, I think I got this thing.
And Time magazine interviewed Bill Clinton about the current presidential campaign, and he claimed he had to ask Hillary to marry him 3 times before she said yes. Then Hillary's like, yeah, that wasn't me.
Hillary also said today that her greatest strength is her passionate commitment to helping people. For instance, there was that time in 2008 when she helped a young black man from Chicago become president. And Hillary Clinton revealed today that she thinks her biggest weakness is her impatience. Said the interviewer, Mrs. Clinton, I haven't asked you anything yet. Hillary also said today that her greatest strength is her passionate commitment to helping people. For instance, there was that time in 2008 when she helped a young black man from Chicago become president.
Listen live or archive on www.johnbrislinshow.com.
X-Nebular. X-Nebular is, they are one of the sponsors of the show this week. But, you know, more importantly, every once in a while, I come across something that truly is, or at least has the potential to be, life-changing. And it usually centers around education somehow. I am a, you know, fanatical almost believer in education and the need to make education streams flexible. So people who have children or have jobs that aren't as flexible as they could be, or, you know, whatever the other restrictions are, the blocks, the impediments to furthering your education, whatever they may be, we need to stay flexible in the pursuit of education so that, you know, we can get people the information they need and the knowledge they need and the degrees, quite honestly, that they need to move ahead in the world that they want to move ahead in. And X-Nebular is a platform that has been developed and is showing outstanding, incredibly outstanding potential to make it possible for individuals and people's families and friends and communities to get the education that you are looking for. And it is, I believe, part of the future that our children will know. You know, you look back 20 years and we had no idea that today would be the way it is now, with iPads ruling the world and iPhones and a phone even at all in everybody's pocket. That's something that's bizarre. We don't know what the next 20 years is going to be, but I can tell you that there will be, I believe, a revolution in the way we educate our children, our neighbors, our communities, our nation, and the people around the world. And it's all going to be because of platforms like X-Nebular. If you want to find out more information on it, go to Kickstarter.com. They're in the fundraising stage right now, and they truly need the support. It's X-Nebular, spelled X-N-E-B-U-L-A-R. Again, X-E-N-E-B-U-L-A-R. You can find out about it, see how wonderful it is, maybe spark some ideas in your own imagination about education, and I highly recommend that you support this concept, this project, and put some dollars down. Put your money down there and throw a couple dollars toward improving education for the future. It's a fantastic program and deserves your attention and your support. Thanks very much.
Art of God. A simple book about who you really are and how to be truly happy. Who are you, really? What is your relationship to the universe? Is there a secret to achieving happiness? You will find answers to these questions here. Surprisingly, those answers are common to, but hidden within, numerous wisdom traditions. This book is about uncovering these universal truths and understanding the fundamental nature of reality. Belief in God is not necessary to benefit from this book. You must, however, believe in yourself and approach with an open mind. If so, your understanding of who you are and your place in this world will explode. Your own common sense, logic, and intuitive understanding will reveal your true nature and point you directly on your path to happiness and success. Visit www.partofgod.com for your copy. That's www.partofgod.com. Part of God, a simple book about who you really are and how to be truly happy. Who are you, really? What is your relationship to the universe? Is there a secret to achieving happiness? You will find answers to these questions here. Surprisingly, those answers are common to, but hidden within, numerous wisdom traditions. This book is about uncovering these universal truths and understanding the fundamental nature of reality. Belief in God is not necessary to benefit from this book. You must, however, believe in yourself and approach with an open mind.
Tell me you weren't tapping the steering wheel when you hear that kind of music. I'm telling you, if you're not tapping the steering wheel, you should be. You know, if you really reach the master level of John Brislin show listenership, you sing that song out loud when you hear it. Something about good blues music and Government Mule, who sings that version of John the Revelator. It just moves your soul, or at least it should. And let's move through some calls. And line one, world citizen in the Bay Area, San Francisco, you are on with John.
Hey, thanks for letting me on, John.
Happy to have you always, my friend. What's the good word tonight?
First of all, I think Hillary's getting just about as much promotion as Donald Trump, and it's very disturbing to hear about that stuff about Disneyland. But we had a lady run for Jerry Brown she wanted to be governor of California. Her name was Meg Whitman. Do you remember her?
Yeah, of course.
There's another classic example of a billionaire, a billionaireess, I guess you'd call her, but she couldn't buy her way into the governor seat. And she spent a lot of money trying to get there.
Yeah, I forget exactly how much she meant or how much she spent. If I remember right, it was about a...
I imagine it was probably $1 billion.
No. I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $140 million, $145, $150 million of her own money she spent. And then she got, that was about 40%, I think, overall of her contributions. So, but you remember, that's for governor. I mean, so for spending $150 million of your own money and also getting matched dollar for dollar from contributions, that's a lot of money to run for governor.
And to lose, it's even, you know, it shows even worse that you can't buy your way into this seat. But I think you probably can with the presidency, and I think that's probably what Donald Trump's doing.
You know, I don't know. Meg Whitman, she doesn't have the money that Donald Trump has. I mean, she doesn't have the $10 billion, which, not for nothing, not everybody believes he has that much, but it doesn't matter whether it's $6 billion or $10 billion, really.
Well, he really rubbed it in about the bankruptcy, and then he said, well, I made a lot of money off of it, too, you know?
Yeah, and
you know, you can rub it in like that, but that was the taxpayers' money he was dealing with.
Yeah, you know, and it's the local community, and it's people who aren't billionaires that are helping him go from $7 billion to $8 billion by giving up their jobs and their companies that they'd worked for 30 years. I mean, I've got family in the New Jersey area, in an area called the Poconos, and a construction company, and I can tell you, I've lived the life of, you know, they're my family. I know what the stories are, and there are plenty of people out there that will say, yeah, sure, build my building for me, and so the companies go out there and bring in all these supplies and do all the work and pay their employees and you know, foot the bill to a certain extent. Well, and then they expect to be paid. And, you know, they're not.
When you said New Jersey, a friend of mine was telling me the other day that when Donald Trump came into New Jersey, he put a lot of people out of work. They were doing other things, and they scraped down all the buildings and built the Trump Tower, I guess, or whatever they were doing there, and I guess brought in his own people.
Yeah, it's a little bit of business as usual, and it's just to do business that way. But I don't know. It goes either direction. And on the one hand, you want someone who can do the masterful art of the deal. On the other hand, you know, what if the art of the deal is you screw everyone? You know, you screw these 1,100 people.
What if a politician?
What if the? You know what? I'm going to leave it there. I don't think I can beat that one, buddy. And let's go to line two. And Eddie, you are on with John. What's the good word?
Oh, good evening, America, and thanks for taking my call, John.
Thank you, sir.
John, I want you to know that as a practicing druid, I would like to talk to you sometime about the curse on the Kennedys. But for now, you brought up Disney.
Okay.
And I want you to know and your audience to know that druids are working with nature because they are on to Disney. And we are working with nature to return Disney World back to the swamp from which it was built. Thanks for taking my call, John.
Hold on a second. Can I ask you a question about that?
Okay.
What is it about being a druid and being in tune with nature? How has Disney compromised your values? What is it that you don't like about them? I mean, maybe I'm not getting it.
Disney has not compromised my values. Druids are one with nature.
Yeah.
Right now, one of our top priorities is to battle white-collar crime and misinformation, which is being brought on to humans by what you say, the elites, the aristocracy, whatever term you want to give them. But they are misleading humans. And nature, like the old, what's that, margarine commercial? It's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Humans are part of nature, John. It's not nice to fool humans.
Okay, well, I get it. Eddie, I certainly appreciate the call, and I hope we get a chance to do it again sometime soon. You have an interesting point of view that I don't hear very much. So, let's do it again. Now, I'm not exactly sure that I'm in tune with nature, apparently, or at least I'm not so in tune with Eddie. I don't really understand how it is that that Disney is hurting nature. I mean, white-collar crime, okay, we're all against that, I guess, and a lot of swampland, a lot of land was taken up in building Walt Disney World and all, but I don't know. I'm a little confused by that whole idea, but it is interesting that a company like Disney is powerful and full of money. They're not hurting for money, and they still want the community of Anaheim and kind of maybe anybody around them to throw in a little something. And I just have a hard time believing that Disney needs to be subsidized by the city of Anaheim. I don't know. I don't care for that too much. Recapping real fast, I wanted to mention and I didn't, so... Oh. Well, what did I want to mention? I wanted to mention that it's amazing who we worship for celebrity and Kardashians, and how Donald Trump is the Kardashian family now of business and, unfortunately, politics. That's going to have to wait until next week on the John Brislin Show, because right now it is, I am dying to remind everyone, including myself, that, say it with me, America is advanced citizenship. You have got to want it bad because it is going to put up a fight. And I will be here fighting for it with you and producer Denise Marmeyer, the Mona Lisa in the frame on the other side of the glass, right here on the John Brislin Show. Every single Saturday night at 9 o'clock, johnbrislinshow.com, Facebook, Twitter, and all the good stuff. Good night, America, wherever you are.
John the Revelator wrote the book of seven seals.
The new home of Sean Hannity in Las Vegas. News Talk 720, KDWN.